that men would be saved. No women?
Oh, sorry.
Good morning. Still 10, 11 more minutes to the morning, right? Good to see everybody today. It's been shoebox time. It's like weird to talk about Christmas when it's like still like hot out. Remember like 2 weeks ago we said, oh, fall is here, and it only got hot again. And we're still in September, right? But Christmas is around the corner. But nothing like taking that true, if you want to call it, spirit of Christmas as far as announcing the birth, death, resurrection of Jesus Christ to a dying world, right? South Philly can touch, you know, Africa and Asia and South America and wherever the Lord would send those. We did something very bad, Gloria, 30-some years ago. We never kept the records of every box that we sent. So we could probably calculate, because we've always been around that, like, you know, for a long time, that 100 mark. We could probably calculate how many boxes came, you know, we were able to send out over the years. But it's in the thousands easily, right? It's in the many thousands of boxes. But each one of those has the opportunity to impact a life eternally. And maybe a family eternally. Maybe a whole community, right? Eternally. For the cost of what many of us, you know, we spend a lot of that, less than that on dinner, you know, or yeah, your weekly coffee habit. Some of you are like, woo, right? You made Wawa and Starbucks and the rest of them rich, you know, Dunkin', right? But for a cost of less than those things, we can, because you're not just putting stuff in it, you know that. You're prayerfully putting items in there that will impact the child to them. And they get those items along with the materials, along with the community of those that from the body of Christ that go there to distribute them, right? They're getting a chance to be impacted with the love of Jesus Christ. Powerful stuff, you know? Powerful stuff. So give, you know, as the Lord to put on your heart, and I know we'll believe we'll exceed even last year because we seem to do it every year. Yes. So there's some going to even the U.S. this year. Okay, so that's a new thing for them. They're actually sending to some communities in the U.S. impacted by some of the natural, when we say natural, the disasters that have happened. So, yeah, you can even impact around the world, but even right here in the United States. Amen. Let's pray, and then we'll talk some more. Father, thank you for this day, for the time we have together. Now, Lord God, for all that we have already experienced, we now get a chance to experience your word, Lord, as we sit at your feet. As the children go downstairs, they'll be exposed to the teaching of your word. As we remain up here, we'll be exposed to the teaching of your word. Father, I pray that we would have those ears ready to hear, hearts to receive, and let us put it into practice, that you would be glorified and many will come to know you. In Jesus' name, amen. So how's it going this morning? You guys all right? Yeah? Okay. Yeah, that was like weak. That was lukewarm. I'm doing all right. It's all about you. How many are still reading? Good, good. How many are actually caught up or ahead? Okay, how many are a little behind? I'm a little behind. Megan and I are still catching up from when she was in the hospital and everything. But we're getting there. We're like almost there now. So we'll be caught up. Hopefully, I'm trying to catch up before we... But New Testament is October 1st. Yeah, trying to. We have a couple more days to fully catch up, and I think we will. But it's good. It's exciting. And keep on reading. In a couple weeks, we're going to have a lunch in scriptures again. We have a little bit of a wrinkle to it. It's going to be a fun wrinkle, I think, that you'll have. But we're going to come. We'll have a little lunch together. We'll be able to share the books of the Bible that we, at that point, will be into the New Testament. But we're going to kind of do a look back at some of the Old Testament Bibles, you know, books that we looked, and kind of spring looking forward ahead to the New Testament. And if you think about it, we're talking about Christmas, and then we start the New Testament. We're in the home stretch, right? We're in the home stretch. So keep on reading, and I know you're being blessed. You'll continue to be blessed. And as Robert said over in Jersey this morning, he said, you know, everybody's excited. Now we're getting to the New Testament. Not just because you're getting finished. It's kind of like, okay, time for the New Testament, you know. But he said, when you finish the New Testament, hopefully you're going to say, hey, I want the Old Testament again. Get right back into it in January. So do you have Bibles with you? Yeah, you can have them out. If not, they're in the pew. I know you'll look in the big screen, which is okay. There's nothing wrong with that. I want you to turn to the Old Testament book that's the last book in the Bible. And what is it? Malachi? Malachi, yeah, kind of. But I'm going to throw a wrinkle at you. I'm going to say that's technically, in some ways, not the last Old Testament book. Though it is. See, we God didn't divide up the Bible with chapters and verses and divisions. That man did that. And it's okay. It's good for us to have places to turn to, verses and chapters and books and so forth. That's great, you know. But if you think about it, a lot of the gospel accounts took place during the Old Testament, right? The announcement of Jesus' birth, John the Baptist, right? Jesus coming, his teachings, his ministry, all the way up until the cross and his death, his resurrection, his ascension, all of that other stuff, took place under the Old Covenant. It wasn't until Jesus said, this is a new covenant I'm going to give you, right? And that happens near the end of the Gospels, right? So in essence, some of the Gospels are kind of an Old Testament. And you say, well, that's kind of interesting. So, but what I want you to do is I want you to recognize that this morning, see, as I get my Bible here, as I go to the book of Malachi, and as you do turn there, I'm not going to be speaking from Malachi this morning, nor am I speaking through Matthew. I'm speaking to this page, the page between Malachi and Matthew. Yeah, there is a division there, isn't there, in our Bibles? They call it the silent years, the 400 silent years, the intertestamental period, if you want to be theologically, you sound like a theologian. In the intertestamental period, 400 years of silence, no prophets from the time of Malachi until John the Baptist comes on the scene. What's John the Baptist come on the scene saying? Repent! Right out of the gate, man. John didn't mess, man. I love John the Baptist. He's no nonsense guy. He's a bulldozer. He is. Make path straight, baby. Repent! Get ready, he's coming. That's my job. Tell you, get ready, he's coming. But anyway, there's not silent years. So I thought about it a lot, and I thought the best way for us to talk about these silent years is to become Quakers for the morning and be silent for half an hour. You think that'll work here? No. You don't think? I don't think it'll last for 30 seconds. We want to either talk or hear somebody talking to us. We can't be, you know, they used to sit for hours in silence until the Spirit moved them to say something or to do something. Could you imagine us sitting here for silence? There's so much noise in this place. We could never do it. You say, well, what are you talking about? What's this all about? Well, let me just say something first. The 400 years of silence. The 400 years from Malachi until John the Baptist, right? Well, despite the fact that there was no recorded revelation, oral revelation from God through the prophets, God was doing stuff. He was. God was doing a lot. He was changing politics and governments. He was changing cultures. He was allowing shifts in the religious systems. 400 years of silence, but God was still doing stuff. See, when Malachi kind of sets the stage for us, he says, well, yeah, here's what's kind of happening now. You know, during this time period before Malachi, you know, Israel was back in their land again after they were, you know, taken by Babylon and the Medes and the Persians. And then they were let go back into Israel again and Judah, and they built the temple again. So during this time, they were released from exile They went back, built the temple. They had some little short revival under Ezra and the teaching of the law again in Nehemiah. They had a little bit like a mini revival. It didn't really last the whole time. Israelite men were still mistreating their wives. This is what stuff Malachi talks about. The married women were not following the law. They didn't. The people didn't follow or honor God with their giving. You know, he calls them out on that. The priests were neglecting the temple. They were neglecting the responsibility of teaching the word of God to the people. Again, God was during this time changing the cultural that were in Israel. They were switching over to more of a Greek culture. Even the language changed. They were no longer speaking Hebrew. They were speaking kind of the common Greek language of the time. Their scriptures themselves, what we call the Old Testament, was being translated into that common Greek language. We call it the Septuagint. All this stuff is happening. Things were happening where, you know, even in the temple itself, where there was the focus of worship, now all of a sudden during this 40-year period, the focus became more in the local synagogues than even at the temple. I mean, stuff was all going on. And then they were still worshiping at the temple, going through the sacrifices, going through all the rituals. And then this man, one of these rulers, because they shifted from the Medes and the Persians who let them go. Then they went to the Greeks under Alexander. Then it broke up the four kingdoms. Then it was the Greeks. Then it was the Egyptians for a while. They kind of got batted back and forth. Then eventually it was Rome, you know. And all during this time, they're kind of living their life, but things are changing rapidly. And God is, you know, even allowing the sacrifices to go on until this man called Antiochus Epiphanes comes in and he desecrates the temple. And then they have this revolt under the Maccabees and they restore the temple. And all this stuff is happening on. In fact, much of what is happening during that time is the fulfillment of what you guys read not too long ago in Daniel's prophecies. Most of what Daniel wrote in those chapters, you know, the 8, 9, 10, those chapters in there, that it took place and were fulfilled during this 400 years of silence. But while all this was going on during these silent years, as God was really working a lot, God was orchestrating all these different events. You know what he was doing it for? He was doing it to prepare the world for the arrival of Jesus. So a lot was happening during the silent years. Galatians 4:5 says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoptions as sons." So in other words, all this stuff during the silent years, God was doing all these things to bring forth the fulfillment of Jesus to come into the world to save us from our sins. Not so silent, huh? Well, what about today? You might be saying to yourself, well, look, I see that blank page, and then I turned the page from Malachi 400 years. How do you live 400 years of history? I'm in the New Testament. Well, wait a minute. I got to the book of Revelation, and that was like almost less than 2,000 years ago, and God's been silent for 2,000 years. We don't have any new revelation coming. This is it. Wow, it was bad for 40 years, but now God hasn't spoken for 2,000 years? What's up with that? Well, that's kind of the question before us this morning a little bit. Is God silent, or does God speak today? Does he speak? And maybe the question along with that is, if he does speak, if he is speaking, how do I hear from him? How do I hear from God? Now, I will say this. When it comes to God speaking audibly, I have found nothing in the Bible that prohibits God from actually talking out loud today. There's nothing that says that he, you know, in his word that God will not ever speak audibly ever, right? We know he spoke audibly in the Old Testament. We see the recordings of it. But there's nothing that says to us that God will not or could not speak audibly today, though we don't really see that as being the common thing. But if you think, well, wait, that's one of the differences between the Old and New Testament, well, let me just remind you of something. In the Old Testament, where we have the times of God's recorded voice being spoken, right, to people, whether it was Abraham or Moses or whoever, right? Think about that. That was over 4,000 years. And all the recorded events of God speaking. Now, I didn't do the math, because I really can't do it, because we don't know how long the voice of God was thinking. But just to say, over that period of time, when God spoke to Moses and Abraham, and all, just say it was 100 hours, 20 hours, I don't know, total talk time, right? Divide that into 4,000 years. That's small. That's small. It's rare when God would audibly speak, even in the Old Testament. So God could speak audibly today, but more than likely, he's not going to. But one of the things we have to realize is, though, does the Bible tell us about whether God still speaks today or not? Well, the Bible does make it very clear that God does speak, and one of the primary ways the Bible says he does speak today is through his word. You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, it reminds us of something. All scripture, and I believe this is the word of God, I do. This is the word of God. God kept it for us. God put it down for us. It's there. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So you say to yourself, well, okay, God then spoke to us his word, but his word is speaking to us today, and it helps me to know doctrine. It helps me to understand truth, the good teaching, the solid foundation that we need. It also reproves me. Now, reproof and correction are related, but they're different. Reproof is basically speaking to us about what the problem is, what we're going wrong, how we're astray, right? It kind of calls us out. Correction is the device that when we're reproved, it brings us back in line, okay? Because if you have just reproof and you just stay there and you got the reproof, okay, well, you're still sailing the wrong way. But if you get reproved and the reproof comes to you and then the correction follows it, now you can get back on course. So the Bible teaches us, it reproves us, it corrects us, it helps us to become righteous men and women. God does that because through his word he's speaking. You know, Isaiah 55:11, right? So is my word that goes from my mouth, out from my mouth, it will not return to me void or empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose by which I sent it. I sent it. It's going to achieve its purpose. I'm speaking to you. 1 Peter tells us in the first chapter, third verse, his divine power, God, has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness. So God does speak through his word. He also speaks to us through events that take place in our life. He speaks to us through situations. Just like he was speaking back to Israel during those 400 years and he was shaping their culture. He was getting it ready so that they had a language that the whole world would understand. So when the gospel message came out, they'd all be able to understand it. He was doing that during that time. During our life, he's orchestrating events to speak to us about where he wants us to go, what he wants us to do, how he wants us to be living our life. He arranges circumstances in our life. He's guiding us. He helps us to discern things through our consciousness even. You know, our conscious, I mean, our conscious is. He speaks to us that way. He's, according to Romans 12, he's working through his word and through events in our life, and he wants us to not be conformed to this world, but he wants us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That's taking place as God is speaking to us. Peter says again about this, he says in chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, he says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief for all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perisheth, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. So God is working, speaking, moving through all these things that go on to bring us to this place of working through us to make us more like Jesus Christ. So God can, if he wants, speak out loud. He can. And honestly, if he would do it right now and say, Joe, shut up, I'm going to speak. Oh, thank you, Lord, please, 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 Lord, speak. But you know what? Even though he doesn't, he's still speaking to us today. In fact, if he chooses to use my lips or somebody else's lips, God speaks through people today. And that's why when we're speaking, we have to be careful to speak, as the Bible says, as the oracles of God, wanting to speak the words God would have us to say or to share. That's very important. We all have opinions, and it's okay, and they have their place. But more importantly is, are we speaking what God would have us to say? Are we speaking the words of truth and the words of life to people? So, you know, when we open our mouth to speak, if God's going to use a teacher, an evangelist, a pastor, you know, a song leader, right? A trusted friend, right? Somebody, Lord, I pray that they would speak your words. Let them speak your words. And when God does speak, one of the ways to know that he is speaking and that it's him and his voice is that he'll never speak in contradiction to the words he's already spoken. See, if anybody speaks words contrary to this, you can reject those words. No matter how much they claim it comes from God, God will not contradict himself. He has given us his word that we might be able to test the words that are spoken later to make sure they are aligning up with his word. God doesn't contradict himself. But yet, you say, well, he's silent. He doesn't speak necessarily audibly today. Can we hear God in the silence? Now, I learned something interesting today. I like to learn stuff. I'm never too old to learn. I always want to learn more and more. And I learned something actually this morning because I was curious about it. Because I actually put a title in the message, and it's called The Sound of Silence. Now, a lot of you, all of a sudden, you got this Simon and Garfunkel thing going in your head, and you're saying, thanks, now I can't get it out of my head. No, the sound is like, well, I didn't mean to do it, that's what happened to you. So focus on the message, and you'll get the song out of your head. But the message is called The Sound of Silence. And you say, that's a contradiction. Because silence is the absence of sound. Well, don't be too sure about that, because I looked that up. Because I was curious, and curious minds want to know. I said, is silence the absence of sound? And then I said, can you hear silence? And I found out, lo and behold, that scientists have pretty much concluded that you can hear silence. That there's something with our ears and our brain that if you were ever, and none of us have ever probably ever been in absolute silence, complete silence, you know, we've been in quiet. But there's always something. But they can put you in a place like in a space that's a vacuum, is all silence or whatever. You can go into a place of all silence. But when people do that, there's actually a sound to it. And it's not necessarily an audible sound like that, right? It's a sound that your brain and your ears say, I'm in silence. Isn't that kind of weird? So there is a sound of silence. So what do we hear in the silence, or how do we hear in the silence? See, remember, the lack of God's audible voice being spoken to us is not silence. God is speaking to us. You know, before the incarnation or the birth of Jesus Christ, right, God was speaking to us primarily through the prophets. The Bible tells us that after the Son and his recorded words and all his events up and through, you know, the end of the New Testament, he's speaking to us by his Son. You know, the Bible tells us that we're responsible to seek out the words of God that have already been spoken to us. He says that in Isaiah somewhere, chapter 8, you can go find it. I didn't write it down, but somewhere in Isaiah it says, like, I'm paraphrasing, you're responsible to go seek out what God has already spoken to you. Don't wait for that other new revel. Like, go, God's already spoken. Have you been listening to what he said already? Do you listen to what he's already been said? So in the absence of words, if you will, audible words from God, God is speaking to us and has spoken to us, again, as I said, through his word. But there are those who are not necessarily satisfied with that answer. Well, God speaks to me through his word. They want more. God, you got to speak to me. In fact, I'm not going to listen until I hear you speak to me in my ears. And they may not say it that way, but that's really what they want. Have you ever heard that from somebody? I don't believe anything. But if God ever spoke to me, then I believe. You know what I say? If you haven't believed what he already said, you're not going to believe if he spoke to you. You're not. You're just not. But people wanted to hear. They would say they want to hear from God. They're not satisfied with the thing about read your Bibles more and listen to the word that's already been given. And actually, if you think about it, it's very arrogant to think that you, of all people, would be the one that God, after all, he's only spoken to so many people that out the whole revelation of the world or all the time of the world, and then he was going to choose you and say, oh, yeah, I want to speak to you now. I mean, he could, but more than likely he's not. So God speaks. Not that I am anything in particular, because I am not, but I trust this morning he's speaking through this vessel, through me, that I'm speaking the message that he wants us to hear in the way that he wants us to hear it. Have you ever had a friend call you up and said they've been praying for you, and then God has shared a scripture to give you? I just felt that I had to share this scripture with you today. God speaking to you. When you're taking time, hopefully every day, but whenever you do, to open up the word, to do that time of devotion, to read your Bible lessons, to go to attend a Bible study or come to a church service or listen to anointed music. God is using those vehicles to speak. To speak. But you might be saying to yourself, even in all of this, Pastor Joe, and I've heard this before, and always that encouragement that God speaks to me and wants to speak to me through his word. But listen, if I'm going to be honest with you, with all of that, God's still silent to me. God's still silent to me. And the silence has been deafening. I want to speak to that before we close this morning. Because there does seem to be times in our life when God is silent, that he's not speaking to us. I think the best way to address this is to initially remind us of our friend in the Old Testament book. His name was Elijah, who was a prophet who God actually spoke to. God spoke to Elijah audibly, and Elijah's, one of his responsibilities was to take what God said and tell other people about it. And God, he had to do that in some tough situations, where his life was truly on the line. And he got to the point one time is he was running for his life because his major enemy was Jezebel, the queen, and she was out to kill him. And he's like booking it out of there, and he's hiding away in the mountains, and he's trying to go into the wilderness and get away from her and all this kind of stuff. And one time he starts crying out to God in 1 Kings 19, and he cries out, he says, God, I've been very zealous. This is verse 10, for the Lord Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left. Now they're trying to kill me too. God, you're not listening to me. I'm left alone here. God, God, God. God. Why are you so quiet? Why aren't you answering me? In verse 11, God says to him, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord wasn't in the wind. Well, after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came this fire, but the Lord wasn't in the fire. But after the fire, there was a still, small voice. See, sometimes in all of the waiting to hear from God, we're waiting to hear from God in this, hi, I'm God. Good morning. Because his voice probably would be like an earthquake and a fire and a wind. God says, now I'm speaking all the time to you. I'm speaking to you. And it doesn't have to be loud. It doesn't have to be audible. It doesn't have to be earth-shattering. It doesn't have to be fiery. I'm speaking to you. I'm speaking to you. And what you are equating for silence, I'm not really being silent. See, Isaiah got it all wrong. Elijah had it all wrong. God, you're not speaking to me. He says, no, I am. Elijah, I have got 7,000 men who have not bowed down their knee to Baal. You're not alone. I'm orchestrating all this. Don't worry about Jezebel. I got you. I got you. I'm in control. See, sometimes, again, to us, it seems to us that the silence or the inactivity is God being indifferent. You know, like when Elijah went to the prophets of Baal and they had the contest, right? It the other way around. The prophets of Baal were crying out to their God. He's a false God, but they're crying out to him, getting him to answer, right? The whole idea, hear from God. Whoever God answers, right, and brings the fire down, that's the real God. And they're out there going, yay, come on, Baal, come on, answer us, right? And they're all day, and they're cutting themselves, and they're sweating, and they're doing, and he's not answering because he's not God. And Elijah's like going like, maybe your God's on the toilet. Maybe he took a trip. Maybe he's cooking dinner. He doesn't really bother. Sometimes now we feel that way with God. God, here I'm twisting in the wind. I'm dying. You're not saying nothing to me. God, I go to church. I read my Bible. I'm crying out and you're not saying anything. God, are you on the toilet? Are you on vacation? Are you busy over in the Middle East and you forgot about me? We feel that way sometimes. You got to be honest with yourself that the silence sometimes can be deafening. Well, what I'm here to tell you is he's not silent. His perceived silence by us is God working things out that we can't even imagine. The inactivity is giving God to us an opportunity for us to listen even carefully, more carefully with the still small voice that we don't always see or hear. But he's involved with every aspect of your life when he's quiet. And he's working things out when you're quiet. And he's helping you to grow when you're quiet. And he's doing what Peter said. He's allowing you to go through this time to refine you like the more pure gold, to make you more like Jesus Christ. And he's working it in you in these silent times where he's not being so silent. Because his thoughts, Isaiah 55, are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways, right? He said, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out of my mouth. Will you not turn to me void, but will accomplish what I have sent it forth to do. I'm speaking, even in the silence. But we also have to stop for a moment and be honest with ourselves. Because sometimes the situation with the silence of God isn't that God isn't actively speaking to us, it's but we ain't listening. We ain't listening. Do you ever have a conversation with somebody and you know they're not hearing you? Oh, we love that time, don't we? Yeah, I remember, especially a long time ago, it still can happen today, but not as much, but it still can happen today. But especially a long time ago, especially like when, you know, like sports was my God, you know. It was. I repented of that God. He's no longer my God, but it was. But I remember like there'd be these times, Meg and I were, you know, fairly newly married and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'd be watching a game and she's talking to me. And you know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Yeah, huh? Oh, that's good, huh? Yeah, babe, uh-huh, yeah. And after a while, she'll say, you're not hearing a word I'm saying, are you? And I go, uh-huh, yeah, okay. Then she'd get mad, and then I had to hear her because she was getting mad, and make it be real loud, you know. Joe! What? You haven't a word I said. No. Well, why not? Well, why are you talking to me during the game? You know I'm not going to pay attention to you. Wow. She knew I wasn't listening to her. I kind of pretended I was. I heard stuff going on. You know. How many times is God speaking and we're like, or watching or doing this, and God's, and we're just like, distracted, blah, 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 right? God, you never speak to me. I've been talking to you all day. Then there's the other side of it, very similar, but it's the other side of it. You ever been in a situation where somebody's speaking to you and then you're speaking to them back because they want you to answer something, but they're so riled up with what they're saying to you and making the point they're doing that you actually answered a question, and then they say, will you answer me? And you said, I did, like 2 minutes ago. I did. No, you didn't. Yes, I did. Oh, do you love to have cameras in those conversations, don't you? Your recordings, right? To play them back. Because, you know, that happens, to be fair, to the full balance, because sometimes, you know, like Meg or I'm not going to just say blame her on that one. I blame myself on the other one. But, you know, we get very emotional in conversation. Sometimes Meg gets a little more emotional than me, but I'm not saying that. And she can get it, and she's, and I actually answered her. And I'm waiting. And she's going on and on. And, well, will you answer me? I did. No, you did. Yes, I did. When? Like 2 seconds ago. You didn't hear me. Well, no, wait. Yeah, I did. No, you didn't. Oh, play it back. I wish I could play it back. You know, because sometimes we're so caught up in our situations. We're so caught up in the earthquake of our situation, the fiery of our situation, the noise of it, and that God is speaking and we're just not listening because we're so, God, you're not talking to me. Yes, I am. I actually am. See, we have to learn that wonderful discipline to, regardless of whatever situation we're in, is to, number one, first, desire to hear the voice of Jesus, right? To learn to have what Jesus said. If you're his child, he says, my sheep hear my voice and they know me and I know them. To know the voice of your Father, not somebody other, not another voice. To crave that voice, to look for that voice more than the other voices, that whether it's a game or this, I want to hear his voice. And then in the midst of hearing his voice, or saying we want to desire to hear his voice, then truly want to desire to hear his voice, that even in the midst of all the earthquakes and the fires and the winds of life, you can learn how to be still and hear his voice amongst all the calamity. Because the calamity gets real loud, doesn't it? But God's still speaking to you through it. And he's speaking words of life, words of healing, words of comfort, of peace, of joy, of correction, of reproof, words of righteousness that only can come from him, even in the silence. So yes, God may not speak to us today in the same way as some of the Old Testament things that he did then, though he could, but he probably isn't. But he's still spoken to us again through his word. And why, and I'll repeat myself, but why would we want to say we want to hear something new from God if we haven't paid attention to what he's already said? Desire to hear his voice. Love to hear his voice. Expect to hear his voice. And like the Israelites of old, rest assured that even in the times of perceived silence by us, God is orchestrating things together for the good. He is. For your particular good and the good of others around you in this world. You know, things and events that you think may mean nothing to the rest of the world that happened to you actually can affect a greater amount of people than you could even imagine. Really. The ripple effect of God doing something in your life where you perceive as very small and then God being quiet about it can be affecting a whole community. That's how God works. Through us, he wants to speak through his actions to us, his work in our life, his plans for our life. He's speaking them in the quiet, again, perceived quiet times. He's orchestrating all that together, that in exactly the right time, in other words, as you're going through it, he's teaching you patience and faith. He's teaching you to learn to know that he's already spoken his promises and his promises will never fail. He's learning you to trust him more, but he's already not only doing all of that, he's saying, listen, in this times of you think our silence, I'm working something together to bring forth a promise that's going to blow you away. That's how God works. So is there a sound in the silence? Yeah. Listen in the silence to the voice of God. Father, thank you today for this reminder from your word that you always are speaking in one way or another, sometimes directly, sometimes indirectly, Lord, but it's from you. Sometimes, Lord, through your word directly to us, either our own reading or someone sharing it with us or teaching us, or indirectly, Lord God, as someone is singing a worship song or a hymn, or someone, Lord God, giving us encouragement. Lord, you speak through our circumstances of our life and through different things that you're orchestrating things to work things together. So, Father, through all these things and more, Lord, help us to learn to listen to your voice, especially in what we think are the times of silence. Let us have confidence that you're working things out for good. But even in those times of perceived silence, you are speaking, you are doing, you are bringing things to pass that will not only bless us, but countless others through the work you do in and through our life. So, Lord, I pray that we would hear this message today on silence and you would allow it to work together to achieve your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.